Hey, everybody. Ed here today. It's good to be with you. I see a few of you have joined. Welcome. We're going to be starting here in just a minute, just getting things set up. Hey, and while I'm doing that, I'm curious, just for fun, what would you prefer? One of these two scenarios. You keep your freelance status and you're earning a good living and you have lots of schedule flexibility, or you land a dream job, a day job, with higher pay, but with very little schedule flexibility. A or B? Let me know in the chat area. Be fun to see how everyone reacts to that. All right, so let's see, we got a few. Beverly says A. Hillary is definitely an A. She's got a capital A. Marcia says B. Okay, good. No right or wrong here. Yeah, good stuff. Hey, I've considered both. You know, it's... many times it depends on where you are right now, what's more important, and what the opportunity is, right? Let's see who else is here. So I know Beverly, Hillary, Leslie. Hey, welcome. Welcome, ladies. Suzanne, Marcia, Jean, Katie, good to see you here. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get started. I know a few more are gonna join. I was also checking pre-submitted questions, there were none. So we'll get right to live Q&A, but let's start on a positive note. I'm curious, over the past couple of weeks, share a win in the chat area. Just type in a capital W and let us know about something good that's happened. And a reminder that, look, a win does not have to be that you landed this massive new client. It could be something as simple as, hey, you know what? I fell behind. I lost focus. I'm back on track. And I'm working through my game plan, making progress and feeling good. Or it could be anything between that and the fact that you landed the biggest client ever. So all the way to the fact that you've maybe landed an amazing client. So anything in between works, just let us know. Chat area, type in a capital W, let us know about a win. And Marcia says, I like team play. That's harder to get as a freelancer, I find. Yeah, it can. You know, I find that sometimes if you land the right client and you're able to collaborate really well there and entrench yourself and become a trusted advisor, that can change, especially if that client happens to be local. It's happened to me about three times in the past where I've just landed an amazing client that I kind of earned that role. You know, I became more of a trusted advisor for them. Didn't happen overnight, and it was great. I got to collaborate with their marketing team. In one case, I even get invited to their annual Christmas party, company Christmas party. And I mean, when things like that happen, that's when you know, they really consider you part of the team. That's a great, great feeling. So I hear you. That's something I do miss from my days of working in corporate America, is that kind of team environment. I definitely don't miss it enough to be willing to give up on some of the other things, but, yeah, and everyone's different, you know. All right, so let's see. We got a few wins here. Marcia says, I figured out how to create some authority content for myself that doesn't make me feel like an imposter, and I'm creating it. Hey, that's great. There you go. Win number two, have an agency on my client roster now. I'm going to try to get more. Excellent. Congratulations. That's great to hear. Suzanne, got most of the first draft of my new web copy written today. Finally, hey, good stuff. It's a huge move. big step. Leslie, Madrid, Spain engineering firm wants me to write blogs for them. Initially, I was told my fees were too high. Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing about that. I thought that didn't come through. And they came back to me. I may also edit a 44-page case study for them. Wow, 44-page case. That's a book. That's a big success story, it sounds like. Karen says, I sent the most warm emails ever and felt relaxed and at ease during the process. Hey, congrats. That's great. It sounds like you're getting into the groove. I mean, that's when you know, when it becomes a habit and you're in the groove, that's a really good sign. That means you got momentum. Karen says we had a response from an agency and good conversation. Wonderful. Beverly says three calls with convention prospects. So she met at a convention recently. One small job, one level up call next week, and one opportunity to help with the creation of a homeschool foundation. Wow. That's a lot of great stuff from one event. And it just goes to show that if you do events the right way and they are targeted enough, like they're really niched and focused, man, so much great stuff can come from something like that. So great to hear that. Hillary says, I have a new prospect that I got while talking to someone at my community garden. You never know, right? Talk to people. You just really never know. I think if you talk to people with the expectation and anxiety that I got to find some leads, those kind of serendipitous events don't happen. But if you bring that kind of energy to it, look, I just, you know, I like to connect with people and just, I'm just curious. Amazing things can happen occasionally. So that's great. Great example of that, Hillary. Good stuff. All right. So I'm curious what everyone is working on right now. So, you know, we like to work here in projects. It adds a lot of focus to our work together. Helps ensure you stay on track. In terms of your game plan, what is your current focus? What is your current project right now in your game plan? Maybe you're working on a couple things, but name one by just putting a capital P in the chat area and let us know what your current focus is right now in terms of our work together. Katie says, I had a warm response from a warm email with an agency I was too intimidated to approach back when I first started warm emailing. With a few months of detachment, I finally fired it off and they were receptive. Hey, that's great. That's great. Isn't that crazy, right? Sometimes the ones like, oh, I don't know, I'm not worthy. You finally muster the courage to send it off and look, you had a response. That's fantastic. All right, so current projects, just couple words, you know, I'm right now prospecting, I'm working on my positioning. What's the focus right now? Marsha is creating six pieces of content in a single broad topic area so I can publish for a while without writing any more content. Excellent. Good stuff, Marsha. And by the way, I don't know if you're working on that right now or if you know about it, but I got some great training on how to repurpose, splinter, and multiply your content marketing efforts. So you can basically create once and publish multiple times. Makes this process so much easier and so much more enjoyable. So let me know if you're interested in that. I can point you to it. Katie, working on the Not Yet Ready machine. Yeah, nurturing. Suzanne, website rewrite and pricing. Beverly, working on LinkedIn profile and prospecting. Leslie, LinkedIn prospecting with marketing directors, managers in the AEC industry. Andrea, hey, welcome. Warm meal prospecting, following up with a guy who does sales outsourcing for clients about creating LinkedIn profile packages for his clients. Ooh, I like the sound of that. Suzanne, also gathering samples and testimonials. Okay. Karen is warm email prospecting, getting into that routine and system, prospects and agencies. Yeah, perfect. Great, Marsha. Good to hear. That's how we do it here every week. I mean, it just everything gets repurposed several times. Hillary is evaluating existing clients in regard to raising rates and evaluating if I should dump one that I might have outgrown. Okay, good. Good stuff, guys. All right. Love the energy and the focus. Let's get to questions and discussions. Just a quick recap. The ground rules are very straightforward. If you have something, just type in a, queue in the chat area. You don't have to type in all the information, but just give me an idea of, you know, what you have that you'd like to discuss, and I'll unmute you and we'll have a conversation. All I ask is that you keep your question focused and specific, limited to one question per person. I can come back to you if you have additional questions. We'll have plenty of time. And if applicable, if it's this kind of situation where you're considering two, three options, let me know what those are. That way we don't go down a rabbit hole. So it's an open floor right now. As I mentioned earlier, we don't have any pre-submitted questions. And just a reminder that that's always an option. So if you know you probably can't make it, you're not sure if you can make a momentum call, or you know you'll be able to make it, but you have to leave early and you're not sure if I'll get to your question, you can always pre-submit a question. Each call has its own page. Just go there. There's a field where you can pre-submit it, and I will typically address those first. If you know you're going to be here, then I'd rather you ask the question here live, in because, you know, that way it gives an opportunity for others who can't make it, number one. Number two, you're going to get much more out of the fact that, you know, you're here and we can just have a discussion. So I ask that you just save pre-submitted questions if you know you're not going to be able to make it or might not be able to make it. Okay. Yeah, we got an open floor. So I'll just wait here. Hey, one thing that while we're waiting for questions that that came up recently, I had someone ask me about inspirational books, book recommendations. So this person was a bit in a kind of in a funk and wanted some recommendations on books that might inspire her to get out of that. And it really got me thinking, because I think there's some great books and success stories out there that that can definitely do that. But something that I've been doing over the past year or two that I think has been even more helpful was, instead of reading about success, I've been reading a lot about failure. Not the kind of failure, you know, kind of despondent type material, but I really want to spend time, and I'm trying to be intentional about spending time reading about big failures and how people deal with them. Because, you know, in this culture, we tend to spend and focus way too much, I feel, on success. And not that there's, you know, that's a bad thing, but when all you read about is successes, you know, the survivorship bias can kind of come into play. Yeah, so that person made it, great, but what about the other 99 who didn't? You know, what happened there? And I'm more and more interested in learning from the 99, especially if those 99 can share openly what they did, what happened, and then maybe give an account or analysis of why it didn't work. And I'm especially interested if they can share maybe the good stuff that came out of it and then where they did succeed. Many times what we're going after, or maybe the exact path that we're trying to follow toward that goal, doesn't work out. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a failure. It just means that that was not maybe the right path or the right way to get to our goal, or maybe even the wrong goal. Maybe we had the wrong goal. So a couple of recommendations that I gave her, I wanted to share them with you. Two of them are books. One of them I'm reading right now. So the first one is The Obstacle is the Way. It's a book by Ryan Holiday. You can find that on Amazon. It's a little book. I would say it's pretty much the only book that I'm starting to read at least one time a year. It's really that powerful. And as you can imagine from the title, it's all about how we need to look at obstacles and challenges a little bit differently. Rather than negatively, we need to see them as a blessing. Because that's where the real learning happens, and that's where the real answers lie. So The Obstacle is the Way is one of them. The other one is actually a series on Netflix. For those of you who have Netflix, there's a series called Losers. I believe it's called Losers. I'm 99% it is. It's called that. And it's about all these people. I believe all of them are athletes. Yeah, all of them are athletes. Many of them are elite athletes who have experienced tremendous failure. And just they talk about, there's maybe 8 different episodes, they talk about what that did to them, how it impacted them, and how they've been able to deal with it. In some cases, they've been able to turn things around in a completely different way or in a totally different area. They've reinvented themselves. Sometimes it's just, no, they didn't reinvent themselves, but they decided to look at it differently. And then, you know, what's that done for them? It's fascinating. I would say every single one of the episodes is just fantastic. In fact, I rarely watch things over, documentaries and things like that, but that's one that I'm going to continue to watch at least once a year. And then the third one is a book that I just started reading on Friday, and I can't put it down. It's fascinating, and it's a book called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. I believe it's become a runaway bestseller, and it is fascinating. It's about a guy who is a black man who grew up, had just a brutal, brutal childhood, very, very difficult life, and how he turned things around and became a Navy SEAL. Actually, he's the only man in U.S. history who's become an elite special forces soldier in all three branches of the military that have them. So it's absolutely fascinating. It is not what you would expect. I'm only about halfway through, but it's not a rags to riches kind of situation. There's a lot of ups and downs in the story, which makes it really interesting, because I really think that that's how life is. It's not a linear path, right? It's ups and downs. And I'm telling you, it's just fascinating, hard for me to put it down. So three books that and resources that I would recommend that I think will help you, whether you're, you know, doing well right now or not so well. But again, the whole idea is, don't just focus on success stories. Those are great and they can be extremely motivating, but there's so much to be learned from people who struggle and have struggled and probably still struggle today. And by some standards, you might even say that they've failed tremendously. Okay, let's see. Leslie has a question. My fee for editing the 44-page case study is higher than they expected because it includes editing and translating into American English. I want to suggest an additional blog post and PowerPoint slides to enhance the project. Do you have any other ideas? One of the partners of this case study is the UN. Oh, interesting, Leslie. So let me bring you in. Let's talk about that. Hey, Leslie, how are you?
Great. Hi. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what this looks like, the case study, and then you know, what you quoted, just so I have a little bit of context.
Okay. All right. So it's this 44-page case study. I don't know if it's case study is really the right term, but it's this engineering firm based in Spain and some other people, including the UN. One thing I did was I actually edited one page of it just to give myself an idea of how long it would take and then to show them that. And I'm dealing with, you know, like a marketing, you know, coordinator or somebody like that. And so I quoted, I said it was going to be $850 to edit it and do the, you know, smooth it out into American English as opposed to, you know, somebody who has it as second language. And she said, well, that was a lot higher than we expected, and people are on vacation, and I'll get back to you when we want it September 3rd. And I said, well, you want it to be the best it can be. I mean, you know, it's something with the UN. And then I thought, well, to kind of encourage them, I thought that I would say, hey, I can write a blog post out of this. And like you've talked about, you know, a couple PowerPoint slides. And I thought I'd say, well, I can do that for $1,200. So, you know, I kind of want to get in with this firm and get something with them. So I didn't think I could go much higher than the 850. And some pages will be quicker than others. But I looked at the proofing, and, you know, it's kind of hard because it's a little bit different with a little bit of smoothing things out because it's, you know, not an English-speaking person. So that's what I've got.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's not horrible, but it definitely needs work in terms of the language barrier, right? Language.
Right, right. And just their way of saying things, you know, state of Texas in the United States, you know, just it's a little awkward to your ear, American English ear. So.
Well, by the way, did they indicate that, you know, they definitely want to speak to an American audience, or that was your suggestion?
No, they want it to be in American English. That's why they're coming to me. You know,
okay.
I think they thought initially it would just be translating a few things here and there. And I looked at it, you know, and I had pretty much marked up this one page, you know, and it'll probably be different on different pages. But so anyway, so that's, and if they're worried about, you know, they're kind of worrying on the fee. Like I know you say, packaging isn't the right word. What do you use?
Bundling?
Bundling, yeah. So I thought, well, maybe if I say, hey, you want me to write blog posts so I can, once I go through all this, I can write a blog post and I can do some PowerPoint slides, you know, just to kind of make it more attractive when she goes back to her people. So
yeah,
that's what I've done.
All right. So right now it's basically let me get back to you kind of thing, right?
Yeah. She has to talk to her upper. My fee was the $850 was higher than she was expecting. She has to go back to people and get approval.
Gotcha. When does she say she'd get back to you? Not till September?
No. That's when they want it done. September 2nd. No, as soon as possible.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It'll be within days, they say.
Yeah. Everyone in Spain, by the way, takes off for the month of August. Like August is, there's like nobody there. So, so I'm amazed that, you know, you can talk to somebody. So you've already quoted it. Okay. What's your specific question here? Cause I could talk about a couple of different things, but I want to be able to be the most helpful.
Okay. Just the idea of going back and saying, for $850, I can do the editing, and for $1,200, I'll write a blog post and do a PowerPoint slide.
And by the way, are those things, blog posts and PowerPoint slides, that you know or you're confident that they would be interested in?
Well, they've already said they want me to write blogs. So,
okay.
I think, and for that, I said I would charge $400 a blog.
So I don't think that would necessarily be the right approach, just because, that's too much. Okay, well, what if I added all these things and then charge you more? You know what I'm saying? Like it's not, unless they've said, you know, we're going to want to do all these other things, then it does make sense, because they said, well, I know you mentioned these other things specifically related to this. What if I, instead of charging, it would normally come out to $1,800 for doing this bundle, I could do everything for $1,250 or whatever. Then it would make sense, because you know that they're interested in those things specifically related to this case study. But if their extent of their interest was, you know, we eventually want you to write some blog posts for us, then that's still too open. I think the best thing you can do, and by the way, so understand that what I'm about to share with you here, it works better if you do it up front instead of after the fact, but you might still be able to salvage it if you try this, okay? I want you to think of, you know, a client is here, and they want to get, you know what, let me move this down. So a client is here. They want to get to here, and what if I, let me try this. And then they have these obstacles in the way. So they want to do this, but then there's these obstacles, right? And this is like any of us, right? We're here, current state, this is the future desired state, and these are the obstacles.
Yep.
And you pretty much have that in every situation, certainly here. You know, they got this case study that's not great, and then they want to get this case study that's just amazing. And the obstacles that they don't have anyone who could do it and do it well. What you want to do, and let's just talk about when you're discussing the project with them, is when you run through the wishbone screening technique, You want to understand, okay, what's going on with the case study, and just take notes about where is it now? How do you feel about it? What do you feel is missing? Okay. Why is that important? This is desired state. Where do you want it to be? And why is that important? So where is it now? Tell me more about that. So you want to ask questions that expand on that. Okay. Where do you want it to be?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that important? And okay, so why isn't it there now? Like, or what would keep you, why aren't you, you know, able to do it? What's getting in your way? Another set of questions that I would ask, or a question that I would ask is, okay, this could fit either in the future state or in the obstacle state, is what would be the best thing about, you know, getting it to that state, something along those lines, a question that basically communicates that. And then what would happen if it wasn't done right? A question that basically asks.
Okay. Well, what I've been saying is that they want a very professional piece, and they know that it's, you know, not in American English. So, I mean, they know there's a problem. It's just, I'm doing more than they expected. I would just go through and change a few words, and I'm saying, you know, like making it more active tense, and, you know, just things that she wasn't expecting. So.
Exactly. So this needs to be, keep in mind that people make decisions emotionally, but justify them logically.
Yep.
Hey, guys, that is such an important concept in sales and marketing. You need to inject emotion back into this. It's easier to do when you're discussing the project, but I think the best thing you could do right now to salvage it, the only chance to salvage it is to explain that you understand that it's here, current state,
mm-hmm.
Desired state, that you understand they want it here. And then let me go back to current state, why it's a problem, desired state, why important, and I would say under obstacles, explain that risk of going with cheaper resource. You don't necessarily need to say, if you go with somebody who's cheaper, here's the problem, but you need to create that doubt and concern in their mind. So, and you can do that by explaining, why me? Because you know what you're bringing to the table is not just the ability to get this done on time. You're bringing expertise, which other people can say they have, but
I have expertise in the industry, and I've sent her, she asked for samples, and I sent samples, and she got back to me right away. So I think it's the her higher ups, they just have to get over. They were expecting a cheaper price, but this isn't the first time I've run into that. So,
yeah, you need to emphasize that what you bring to the table here is stuff you can't learn overnight. You can't teach somebody overnight. Sure. Can you find someone who could do this cheaper? Yes. But what you get with me is these things.
Yep.
The things you can't learn overnight. These are the intangibles that are going to turn this from this to this. And by the way, let me just address the $850. I think that's cheap.
Yeah.
So no judgment. I'm just saying, like, I would not budge on that at all. And I would not feel bad about that at all. I think you're delivering tremendous value for $850. That's a no brainer.
Yeah.
So if they don't get that, first of all, I'm concerned for the future.
I won't go cheaper than that. If they don't give that, I'll just won't do it. I mean, I turned them down before.
Yeah.
So I'm just in.
Absolutely.
you know, and I just thought, well, I do want to get in with this company, and you know, they are interested in having me work with them, so that's what I did. But
they need to understand what you bring to the table and why you're a much lower risk than somebody else.
I like that. Okay, lower risk. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's really the crux of it. That you need to introduce risk into the discussion.
Okay.
You know, because every client who's worked with at least a couple of writers or creative professionals knows that, you know, price only makes sense in the context of everything else. You know, price is only one variable. Okay, price for what? And what could go wrong here? And what's at stake?
Okay.
So I would just go back and, you know, either in a conversation or in an email, probably email would probably be the most efficient, the best way to do this is explain, you know, this. And then just for the future, just make sure that you're really covering this when you're talking with a prospect.
Okay.
And, you know, okay, where are you now? Ask questions about current state, ask questions about future state, talk about what's getting in the way, make sure you understand, and always ask questions about, so impact. That's why I said, you know, why is that a problem? Impact. So what is the impact? Why important? That's an, you know, those are impact questions. Because you need to understand, okay, you want that. Okay, why? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to accomplish? Why is that important? What would be the best part of getting there? If you had it, what would be the ideal situation for you? Those kinds of questions. Those aren't the exact questions. I'm just giving you kind of the.
Okay. So you don't think framework. I should throw out that your company's asked me to write blogs and I could write a blog. So just keep not necessarily bring that in with this discussion.
In order to, meaning adding to the scope?
Yeah, I mean, it would be, a, you know, bundling in. I guess I'll just stick with what the one project, because it's probably a large company with a lot of different people. But
I think you're muddying the waters there.
Okay.
And
right.
You're, you know, anytime you add complexity, you create confusion and inaction.
Okay. And especially
paralysis. With,
yeah, we've got English as a second language, so that already adds to it. So.
Yeah. Focus on one thing at a time.
Okay. All righty.
Focus on one thing. Yeah, in this case.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, please do. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Suzanne has a question here. What's the best way to present your samples of a website? Yeah, let's talk about that. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Excellent. So the best way to present your samples on a website, how do you present them now?
So I think you saw I put a question in the Facebook group yesterday. Basically,
okay.
I haven't been putting samples on my website. So I have.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember our discussion there.
Yeah, so I've been sending like a PDF that I kind of designed up in Canva with a couple of samples just, you know, by email. So whenever a conversation comes up, I say, yeah, okay, I'll send you over a quote and samples, and then we kind of go from there. But obviously now I want to get them on the website. So I kind of had a look through some of the stuff, you know, that you, the suggestions that are in the document, and people have them different ways. You know, should I link out to the other website? Should I put them in a PDF? Should I design it like Canva? You know, do I want to make it just clear and plain, just the text? What's your kind of feeling on that?
Well, I'll tell you how I would do it if I had time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be, I think, the best, usually the best approach. But then, you know, sometimes it becomes an issue. Oh, yeah, but that's going to take a lot of time. I need to get a few things up there. So you might decide, you know, let me get a couple of things up there just as a temporary solution, and then I can do the ideal scenario later.
Yeah.
I really like the portfolio one sheet approach. Are you familiar with that?
No, not.
Okay. So here's the problem with it. With it, it's not a big problem, but I mean, it's one of the disadvantages of posting samples on your website is that they have no context. So here's a white paper I did for XYZ company, or here's a brochure I did for whatever, and here's a website that I worked on. And by the way, one of the other problems is with, especially with websites, is that a lot of writers will link to that website.
Mm-hmm.
And if that website breaks, or if they revamp it and then they don't use you, or the company goes out of business, then you've lost your sample.
Yeah.
So I always, one thing I would always do with websites is definitely create a PDF.
Okay.
Okay. Because you want to capture that forever.
Mm-hmm.
But the first of all, okay, so there's that. The second thing is I would refrain from posting dozens of samples. You know, sometimes people think more is more, but less is more. You know, after three or four samples, I mean, you could add a couple more, but you start getting diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. So you don't need that many.
Okay.
And then the third thing is, okay, well, what's the best way to showcase them? The portfolio one sheet is, think of it as a case study. So it's like a two-pager PDF.
Yeah.
Where you have, you start with background. Okay. Background on the client and maybe the what they needed.
Right. Yeah.
What they needed really comes into the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then solution. What you created for them.
Perfect. Yeah.
So it's, you know, a little bit of background, just some context, then the challenge. This is what they came to you for. This is what you created and how it turned out. If there's, you know, you can talk about results or a couple of quotes from the client, even better.
Okay.
And then this is, this could be like a, you know, a hero shot of, you know, what you wrote, and then you could have some excerpts. This is not very well laid out, but I just, and I'm going to show you a sample.
It is good just to kind of see it this way. I think that actually would sit with me a lot better because it gives you that context.
It does. And you know, this could be two pages. So I kind of crammed it all in here, and it should be two pages. It's hard to do it justice in one. As you can imagine, because these are kind of mini case studies, they do take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you, I had a coaching client who took this to heart, and she did everything as one sheet. Let me show you. I'll share her website. Hopefully she still has them up here. All right. Can you see her website here?
Yep.
Okay. Portfolio. This is Holly Helscher. She is now a ghostwriter. So here's one on a white paper. Client project objective. So she had like a little quick bulleted summary. Key elements. Other qualifications, an excerpt, and then sections of the wiper included this. So it's just a description of the project.
Yeah.
You can download the PDF here. Let's look at another one because that one is maybe a little bit different from the others. Let's see a blog. Here's the client. So she's got some of the elements in here and you can download it. These are maybe a little bit shorter than I would want. What I love about what she did though is the consistency. Like you could do this in Canva or Microsoft Word or something. And you could add a little bit more detail.
I like that. I like that, you know, it's consistent, you know, because, you know, if you're kind of putting like, say, email stuff in, or, you know, you're doing an email sequence beside a blog post, beside whatever, you know, you're going to have differences in size and all that kind of stuff. And it just looks a bit messy. But this, you can kind of format it so it all looks consistent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then it bulks up your portfolio. And you're right, the consistency is really nice. So, you know, you may want to take a look at that, Holly Helscher.
Yeah.
And you could just make these your own, you know. This is the ideal scenario. I think it ticks all the boxes. But again, if you wanted to start with something simpler, you could just post, you know, find maybe your three categories of projects that you'd like to do more of.
Yeah.
You know, and let's just say it's, you know, white papers and case studies and let's say articles. And, you know, you could do it as simple as these are all subheadings, and under each, you're going to have a couple of thumbnail images.
Mm-hmm.
And when you click on them, it's going to be a PDF. And now, at a minimum, I think what I would do is under each one, have a description.
Okay.
3, 4, 5 sentences describing each.
Yeah.
So that way, at least there's some context.
Mm. Yeah, I have, I kind of identified 3 samples. So one is from a dental client, one is in dermatology, and one is prenatal care. So I'm kind of I'm going broad with the healthcare.
Okay.
So I was just kind of thinking of popping them up for now, but I would like to kind of, you know, have it kind of streamlined. So,
I'm pleased there you go.
Enough, you know, I don't need to be going for 10 or anything like that.
Yeah. Keep it simple. Yeah, there you go. And then you can iterate. You could work your way up to, you know, whatever makes sense. Andrea, by the way, in the comments section, link to her. She said she copied Holly's style.
Cool.
And she sent you an example of what she's doing.
Yeah, I'm going to have a look at that now. Great. Perfect. Thank you very much for that. That helps because just a bit. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you.
In fact, let me, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm going to go ahead and since Andrea shared this, I'm going to just put this up. I really like this, Andrea. Here you go. Project summary, results and feedback. This is great. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I've found, and this doesn't hold true every time, okay, but I have found that the best clients are the ones who don't need to see every little detail. Like, you know, when clients start or prospects start asking me, do you have a sample on, you know, this type of piece for this type of client on this topic, and they get really specific, I worry.
Yeah. It's kind of, it is a bit of a red flag, isn't it? It's just, yeah.
It is. And it, you know, if they're going to be that detail oriented now, my experience is that they're going to be a real pain in the butt to work with.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's just been my experience. I want people who they could just tell from the way I'm positioning myself, the writing on my site, the clients and topics that I've worked with and addressed, that there's probably a good fit here. And then if we have a good discussion, they feel even stronger about it and they're willing to give me a chance. Yeah. They need all the, you know, this detailed proof and they still need to be convinced, and that's just hard work.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks, Andrea. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Okay. Karen asks, is this somewhere in the training? I don't think so. You know, I had done a session with Steve Slonwhite years ago on this. But I don't think it's something we've posted because it's just so old. I mean, the basics are still there. In the training is basically what I just described. You know, he gets into a little bit more of the reasoning, but there's not much more to it than what I just talked about. Yeah, and Holly is, she did base hers on Steve's. Yeah, let me see if I find it. But I don't think we ever posted it. It's just, bear with me. I'm looking here. Nah, we don't have it. The approach, the Steve's approach is kind of like the one I recommend, which is the one I just described here. It's the background challenge solution. If you can get a quote or two from the client, even better, that talks about how it doesn't have to speak to actual results. Let's face it, many times we're working on things that don't have tangible results in terms of leads generated or sales generated. But, you know, they can speak to how it was working with you, what the experience was like, your communication skills, your ability to work with them and collaborate. Anything like that would be great. Excerpts can be wonderful as well. And just like Holly did and Andrea did, you can always have a sidebar with some bullet points in here that just kind of summarize some of this information, or you could have it here on top. So, you know, you could lay it out however you want. But the point is still the same. You're just providing something that's kind of packaged and says a lot more about your work than just, you know, handing somebody a white paper. You know, that doesn't really have any information. But at a minimum, you really want to, if you're just going to start with some basic thumbnails that are just straight downloads of PDFs, provide a little bit of context underneath each one. Okay. Yeah, thanks. It looks like Steve had done a video on this, which is good. I didn't know about that. That's, someone had to look that up. It's great. All right, so I don't see any other questions here, guys. So it's an open floor right now. Just again, if you have something you'd like to discuss, it doesn't have to be necessarily a question. You need feedback on something. Discuss this current situation, whatever it might be, just type in a capital Q, let me know, give me an idea of what it is, and I'll bring you on. Andrew says, love The Obstacle is the Way. Isn't it a great book? Yeah, Obstacle is the Way. Great, great stuff. David Goggins is also interviewed on Joe Rogan a couple years ago. Great, totally spellbinding. Yeah. You know, I knew he had interviewed him. I've been meaning to look that up, but I want to finish the book first because to me, everything's a surprise right now, the story. So I don't want to know too much. All right, Andrea has a question here. I'm wondering if it makes sense to add executive recruitment agencies to my warm email prospecting program, specifically around LinkedIn profile writing. Just had this brainwave. Yeah, let's talk about that. Andrea.
Hi, Ed. Nice to hear you.
Hello. Yeah, likewise. It's been a while. So tell me about this idea.
Well, I've decided to try to get a little bit more aggressive about writing LinkedIn profiles, because like months ago, you and Susan had talked about executive profile writing, and I did one like in July for a PR lady, and it turned out pretty good. So I was just wondering, do you know if, do you think it would be a reasonable idea to go after those executive recruitment agencies, sort of with the angle that, you know, when your executives are looking for the job, like your LinkedIn profile is so important, do you need help with those to sort of create like a partnership sort of thing or referral relationship or something?
You could. So tell me a little bit about the one you did. How much did you charge for it? Do you remember?
Yeah, well, I charged $600 for it, but that was like half of what Susan told me to charge.
Yeah.
Ago, because I was too scared to say $1,200. But I have since, like last week, I did some research on like what other people charge, and like, you know, six is a little low, I think.
Six is on level?
Oh, it's a little low. Like for example.
Oh, in the low. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, yeah. It is. It is. I mean, it's okay. It's, you got one. Do you have a couple under your belt, or is that the first one?
I've written a few others, but that was, you know, a long time ago, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first question I asked myself is that, you know, is that something that I would want to do more of? I mean, that's an obvious one, but I have to ask you just to make sure, you know, so is, can you check that off?
I actually really enjoyed the one I did for Lori.
The other thing I would say, excuse me, I don't know what, let me get a quick drink of water. All right, sorry about that. The second thing is, you know, when it comes to anything that's really discreet and tangible, like I'll write your profile. Actually, a lot of things fall under that, right? I'll write your speech. I'll write your white paper. But especially with something like a LinkedIn profile, because it's smaller in scope, you want to get away from just that. You want to create some kind of a bundle. Like, you know, we were talking, Leslie was asking about that a little earlier. Her situation was a little different. But in here, you want to create more of a value add bundle, because it's just going to be harder to compare.
Right. So,
you know,
based on the conversation with Susan from months ago, I did add, like, I made a little bundle that I'm testing out on my LinkedIn profile, which is like an audit for $400, the profile for $1,200, and the everything plus two blogs for LinkedIn for $2,000, I think. So is that still the sort of bundle that you think would be helpful?
Yeah. But I wouldn't itemize it necessarily. I'm not sure if maybe that's, if you're doing it differently, but I would do, you know, option A is, you know, these, so let's option A is, it's these four things. Option B is these three things, and so on and so forth, right? So you take away. Or if you start, you know, with the basic and it includes these two things, then option B is option A plus this one thing. Right. Option C is same as option B, but it includes these other things, right? So you're adding. I like to start with the most expensive.
Oh, okay.
And then option C is just kind of the value package.
Okay.
But I've seen it done both ways. My point is, you know, you don't want to itemize, and maybe that wasn't what you meant, but, you know, you don't want to do this. Right? you want just a bottom line.
Yeah.
So, and I know you weren't asking about this. The reason I'm suggesting this, and I'm glad to hear that you and Susan talked about this, is that I know your question is not that, but if this isn't right, your question doesn't really matter because you're packaging it the wrong way. So you want to package it the right way. And then I think it's worth experimenting and trying it out as long as it's some kind of referral type of arrangement as opposed to you coming in under them, because otherwise you're not going to be able to make enough money, you know, if they're bringing you in. And then the other thing I would say is the easiest way to get in is to, well, there's two ways. One is the easiest is if you know someone, you have a relationship, there's a level of trust, and they can start referring you. Maybe even then they refer you to just one or two people just to make sure. It all works out. Suddenly their trust in you goes way up. So that's the best way. After that, you have to go in cold. And if you think about it, it's you got two things stacked against you. You're going in cold, so they don't know you, and it's a referral. So it's like you're going after cold prospects who need to refer you, which means they have to have even tremendous trust in you in order to refer you. So it's you got a lot of obstacles. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to paint a realistic picture here. So how can you bypass that? You know, do you have, like I said, the easiest way is if you have a relationship or you know someone who can introduce you to someone in an organization like that, where you can, you know, maybe try to develop some, you know, a relationship.
Okay. Okay, so that makes sense to me. And I'm sure that I do have some people in my network that I can tap for that. So I'll think about that. And then maybe the other thing I'll do is, you know, because I post something on LinkedIn every day. So maybe make my posts a little bit more strategic around that package. And I'm going to repackage it because right now it's just like super basic on my LinkedIn profile. So I'll create like a package like what you've presented here to sort of present it correctly. Okay.
Well, here's the other thing I strongly suggest. As you can imagine, that it would be, this is still relatively new to you. But for someone in that business, this is not new, right? So they probably get approached all the time, number one. Number two, they have no problem if they needed to find someone.
I mean,
people who write profiles, I don't mean it in a negative way, but they're a dime a dozen, right? That's so you need to stand out somehow. You need to have some sort of specialty. I'll give you an example. So yeah, have a specialty. Let's just say, and I'm making this up. Let's just say that I am a stay-at-home mom or dad, and I've been out of the workforce for the past 5 years, and I'm looking to get back into it. Who would I, and let's just say I started searching, you know, somebody who could help me with my profile, because I know that's important.
Yeah.
Who would I be more interested in? Somebody who writes profiles and has been doing it, gosh, even for 8 years, or somebody who, well, I don't know much about their track record yet, but their whole focus is stay-at-home parents who are trying to re-enter the workforce after several years out.
Yeah. So what do you think about, you know, because like my specialty is not it's not a LinkedIn profile writing, but it is working with executives and, you know, like serving them for the last 10 years. So is that enough of a differentiator?
Like, I think it's the first steps, but I feel like there's a lot of people who are probably saying that. You know, you don't want to be the only one in the world. That's not what I'm suggesting, but it's got to be different enough. So executives in a certain situation, or these types of executives, or executives in a certain industry or kind of area, you know, HR executives, maybe.
Okay. So, I mean, would my general differentiator still apply to this, which is like executives in corporate wellness, benefits, and professional services? Is that?
It could be, yeah.
Okay.
It could be. I mean, you know, because the question really is, you know, are there enough of them that you could afford to go that narrow? So that's the other side of the, and I think there are. There's plenty. So
yeah.
Resist the temptation and say, yeah, but, you know, I want to cast a wider net because that's more prospects. It's counterintuitive because, as you know, right, it's you dilute your message. So if you can narrow it down, then that's even better. The problem is, yeah, a lot of people who write profiles write for executives because they know executives are going to have more money.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a little bit, I like that. And that's then well aligned with what you're doing everywhere else.
Yeah. And that's what it, like, I'm not going to, I don't want to become like now LinkedIn guru. I just want this to be, make sense in the context of what else I do, you know?
Absolutely.
Like
so if I were to try it, this is how I would pitch it and position myself.
Okay. For executives.
Otherwise, you're just going to be in, you know, just an also ran somebody else who's just doing this. And then the focus is going to be how much is it? Then it's going to be a price issue as opposed to, oh, well, that's exactly who I am. I want to talk to her first.
Right. Okay. Okay. So that sounds good. So for executives in corporate wellness benefits, et cetera, professional services, start with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And put it out there. And, you know, just like with anything else, and this is for everybody, guys, anytime you try something like this, you want to have a balanced approach. You know, it could be really exciting to try something new, but just like a stock portfolio, you don't want to put all of your portfolio in risky stocks. So take the 80-20 approach and keep doing what you're doing, right? The 80%, that's what is going to pay the bills. And then treat this as an experimental, hey, 20% of my time and energy I will spend, you know, experimenting with this because it's unproven right now.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. And just, I did write down all that pricing research that I did for LinkedIn profile writing. Do you think it would be helpful if I posted that for the group on the,
oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. If you're willing to share that just as a separate post, you know, on the Facebook group.
Yeah. I'll do that. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Thank you for offering to do that.
Okay, I'll do that this afternoon.
Awesome. Keep me posted. Let me know how it goes. You know, this is one of those things, Andrea, that it's not going to be a linear situation.
Yeah.
Right? It's probably going to be like this.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to spend a lot of time on, you know, so time and results. You're going to spend a lot of time here, just knocking on doors and trying a few things. And then, you know, finally you're going to get a win. And then if you do it right, through referrals and leveraging these wins and your track record, you know, you can finally start getting to a better place.
Yeah. I think what got me really thinking about this was this woman I worked for this profile, like she's in PR for like 20 years and like really impressive. And she was really pleased with like how it turned out, my attention to detail. And so I thought, oh, well, I mean, if I can please this lady.
Yeah. Did you get a testimonial from her? Did you ask permission if you could use her comments?
I did. Yep.
Perfect. Look at you. I love it. Okay. I love it. That's
okay.
That's the trick. You got one under your belt. So that's, yeah, now build on that.
All right, I will. Thanks so much, Ed.
Oh, you're welcome. Very welcome. Okay, some great comments here in the chat area. Hey, I'm curious. What's been most helpful so far? We've talked about a few things, quite a bit of variety today. I'm curious, you know, what's been helpful? Either something you and I talked about, something you heard from another conversation, something in the chat area. Let me know in the chat area. Just type in a V and let me know something that you found helpful and valuable in our discussions. Yeah, and Katie, it's Jesse. You know, maybe outplacement firms for Andrea. Challenger Gray, Korn Ferry, yeah. Beverly says, valuable, how to present samples on a website. That was great. Oh, good. Karen says, the one sheet for giving context to samples. Wonderful. Haley said, the same portfolio one sheet. Wow, man, I'm glad that came up. That's great. Andrew says, how you give me a better way to bundle the package options. Yeah, okay. Marcia says, always subtly steer prospective clients to remember the risk of picking someone cheaper. Yeah. And you know, I think the answer there, guys, it's not so much focus on the risk. Risk is really just one way you can demonstrate value. So, you're here, you want to get here. This is what's getting in your way. And this is, by the way, this is why you want to get here and why that's important that you get it right. Here's what I bring to the table. And here is why that's important. Many times the risk is implied, but sometimes you can also just kind of add some elements of risk there, right? So risk is one way to communicate value. There are other ways that you should definitely put in there. The fact that, hey, I've been in this industry for 23 years. I don't need handholding. I get it when I'm interviewing your people. When I am, in your case, in Leslie's case, when I'm going through this text, I will understand the nuances of what you're trying to communicate here. You know, I'm not going to translate this into American English in a way that's, you know, maybe incorrectly translated. I understand. I know the lingo. Those sorts of things. Those are also great ways to demonstrate value. Leslie says, the one sheet and reminding my client of the risk of not hiring me. Good. Okay. Good stuff. So again, guys, questions, if you've been waiting, now is your chance. Need feedback on anything, just let me know, type in a Q and let's talk. All right, just making sure I didn't miss anybody here. I don't think I did. All right, I don't see any other questions, guys. So if I missed you for some reason, just let me know real quick. Just say me in the chat area. Otherwise, let's start wrapping up then. I want to make sure you leave with something actionable. Maybe you had several ideas, but you know, if you were to pick one from our discussions today, or maybe what we talked about triggered an idea, or reminded you of something that you need to do or you should be working on right now, I want to make sure you have that written down. And it's something that you're going to prioritize over the next few days. So what would be a top action item from today's conversation? Let me know in the chat area, typing a capital A in front of it. Want to make sure you have something tangible. That's why these calls are called momentum calls for a reason. This work is so much about getting and maintaining momentum. When you have momentum, amazing things happen. When you don't have momentum, everything is hard. And a great way to get momentum is to take action, but taking action on something that's really going to matter. something that you know you need to do, you're motivated to do it, or you know it's a big priority and you can't continue to procrastinate. So let me know, what is one action item over the next few days that you're going to prioritize? Katie says, enhanced presentation of samples on my site. Okay, good. So one way you could turn that into something that will definitely get done, Katie, is maybe a micro action. So enhanced presentation could be, you know, maybe it's a little vague, it's an intention, but what would be a single thing, like a step, something you could do in, let's say, 30 minutes or less? You know, maybe it's taking stock of what you got and then deciding what you're going to take out and what you're going to add. You know, even better, because that won't even take 30 minutes, right? So make sure it's something that's really clear so that you know when you've completed it, it's done. Marcia says, figure out packages. Haven't done many and haven't standardized any. Okay. So there again, that's another great example of, you know, it's an intention, but, you know, maybe decide on one area where, I'm going to create some packages. You know, that would be a really good one. Karen, one page samples, including proof and context on my website. Andrea, create one page bundle summary of the LinkedIn packages that I can use as part of marketing, attach to LinkedIn, send to clients, et cetera. Yeah. And when you do that, Andrea, just make sure that, that the one page is going to stand on its own. So you got to make sure that your specialty and focus, right, that we just talked about, comes across loud and clear. So it might be on your website, but if you're going to have it separately in a one pager, make sure that that's clear. Margo, I have two things. One, review your wishbone screening method. And two, what are one of the books you suggested? Excellent. They're both great. Leslie, promote case studies to prospects on LinkedIn. Awesome. Okay. By the way, something I've been experimenting with lately that I would suggest related to actions, and it kind of speaks to the suggestions that I gave a minute or two ago, is this concept of what I'm calling gateway actions. So there's an intention, there's an action, and then there's a gateway action. An intention would be, I need to work on my samples page, improve my samples page. And an action would be, I'm going to take the old ones out and put some new ones up. Okay, that's just an example. And a gateway action is kind of like a... like a gateway drug. It's something that gets you kind of leads to something bigger, right? And gateway action, the way I'm defining it, is it's something that is a micro step of the action you identified above it. And it's a micro step because it should take 10 minutes or less. Okay. I know it sounds like, wow, 10 minutes, you know, how important, how helpful could it be? It could be extremely helpful. I've been experimenting with this in my own life and my own business, and it's been, I'm not gonna call it life-changing because that sounds dramatic, but it's been very impactful. Many times the trouble is the action is specific, but it feels big, and we keep putting it off because it's like, I gotta get to that, but I gotta carve out some time. A gateway action, there's like no getting around it. It's 10 minutes. Now, you got to be realistic. What can you get done in 10 minutes? You can actually get a lot done in 10 minutes. So continuing with the samples page idea, the gateway action for that could be, I'm going to take a look at what I have, and I'm going to decide which ones are going and which ones are staying. So which ones are staying, which ones are going to go, and then make a quick list of some samples that that I'm going to add, something like that. Or I'm going to make a list of three portfolio one sheets that I'd like to create over the next 60 days. That's it. Sounds simple. It sounds like it wouldn't make a difference. It does make a difference because it gets you into the project. It gets you started. Once you start, it's so much easier to define the next action after that. So that leads me to the next suggestion. Always find a gateway action. Take something from intention to kind of bigger action, which is typically more of a project. to a micro or gateway action. And then once you do that, end that 10-minute session with the next step. Okay, so I just took the first step. Now, what is my next step? You don't want to lose that momentum. If you started something, you took that first easy step, now define the next step so that you have clarity on what that's going to be and it actually gets done. So, yeah, exactly. Margo says, sounds like the gateway action eliminates the all or nothing mindset. Absolutely, because now there's no excuse. In fact, this is something I'll let you in on a little secret. Something I'm experimenting with along those lines is turning my daily schedule into 10-minute increments. And so it's, you know, instead of my old sheet or template was in 30-minute increments. This has been a very new experiment, so can't really talk about results yet. So far I've been very positive, but when you have 10-minute increments, you start seeing how many opportunities you have throughout your day. And then it eliminates the all or nothing mindset. Absolutely. Katie says, my gateway action, just get back into the back end of my site, which I haven't had to do in a while. Yeah, perfect. But you know, to add even more specificity to it, okay, just go back into the back end, okay, and do what? You know, so you're clear when you get there, what are you going to do, okay? All right, guys, hey, great conversation today. It was great to reconnect with you guys. Let's continue the conversation in the Facebook group. You guys have a great rest of the week, and I'll talk to you guys real soon. Take care, everybody.